Southern California College Training, July 6 through 12, 2009, Sacramento, California. Title, Christ Lives in Me. Morning Session 2, Message 5, Using the Homes. Scripture Reading, Acts 2, 46 through 47, and 5, 42.
Okay, so today we're talking about using the homes. Do you know what the easiest gospel is? The easiest gospel is just to tell people, come and see. Amen. Hallelujah, come and see! Amen. What do we have? We have the highest gospel in our hands. And also we have the highest church life. Amen. And that's the living out of the gospel. Amen. So for today's introduction, I would just like to read something from the Life Study of Hebrews, Message 15. A few years ago when I read this, it really changed my life. Changed the way I view the gospel. I really hope when you have some time, just read Hebrews, Message 15 again. Okay, so I'll just read it. Many of the young people are stirred up to preach the high gospel. Are you stirred up to preach the high gospel? Amen. After being stirred up, they may be unable to wait for even half a minute. They want to know the next step. Young people, the next step is to get into the house and stay with the house. The step after that is to go on with the house. We cannot preach the high gospel unless we have the house. In order to have the highest preaching of the gospel, we must have the church as a house of the living God. Then we shall be able to declare to all the thoughtful people, come and see. Here is the meaning of life. Come and see the life that so many philosophers have been seeking for in the past but failed to find. Come and see the church life. But we need to have the church life. We cannot preach the high gospel if we do not have a model. People want to be practical. They don't want to hear about something that will happen by and by. They want to have it now. Amen. Then people will ask, where is this thing that you're talking about? And we shall be able to say, come and see. Amen. Without having the church life on the highest plane, there is no possibility of preaching the highest gospel. In a sense, a high church life is the preaching. We simply need to bring people in and let them see and taste. Amen. Then they will say, now I know. It is easy to preach the gospel when we have a model. Amen. Praise the Lord, we have a model. Amen. We have the highest church life. We have the highest gospel. Amen. So what is the church life? Okay, and I'd like to ask you, what is the foundation of the church life? I'll just use an illustration. You know, with the English language, there's a foundation to it. Without it, you can't have the English language. And the foundation of is the alphabet, you know, the ABCDs. If you don't have that, you can't have the English language. In the same way, the foundation of church life, as we shall see, is the house to house, a living from one home to another home. Amen. Okay, so let's just go through that outline now. Let's read Roman numeral 1 altogether. The regular and ordinary preaching of the gospel in the homes of the believers, and it is by each of the believers. The ordinary and regular preaching of the gospel is in the homes. Amen. Okay, so the book of Acts records that the early saints had a church life in their homes. I think we're all very familiar with the verses that's listed. Acts 2, it says, day by day, continuing steadfastly. Right, in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Amen. Right, and then they partook of their food with simplicity and exaltation of the heart. And praising God, and it says day by day, the Lord added together those who were being saved. Amen. Right, so their living, the church life was from in the temple, but especially from house to house. Chapter 5, verse 42, it says, and every day, in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease to announce the gospel of Jesus as the Christ. Amen. So in the homes from house to house, they did what? They didn't cease teaching and announcing the gospel of Jesus as the Christ. Amen. So what is our homes for? To teach people Christ, Amen. To announce the gospel. Amen. Okay, so chapter 20, here Paul is talking to the elders in the church in Ephesus, and he said, you know, day and day he toiled, right, from house to house. Actually, it says he was talking to the Jews and to the Greeks, the matter of repentance to God and the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, this is what we should do from house to house, you know, visiting people's homes and also bringing people to our house. So here it says, the apostle preached the gospel from house to house. And Paul rented a house, not a chapel or cathedral, to speak and to preach the word to people. Okay, my time is short, so I'm just going to go ahead. The next point, using our homes for the gospel has many advantages. Yes, let's read point A together. Amen. More attractive. Do you believe this? It's more attractive. You know, in the ministry, it says there are two basic ways plus one additional helper. The two basic ways is number one, prayer. Amen. That's why we started this whole week by having a companion and pray. Amen. You know, if we don't pray, our gospel preaching will be ineffective. Amen. The second basic way is the word. You know, like what Brother Mark shared, how can people have faith? It's by hearing the word of Christ. Amen. Okay, so the third additional helper is a matter of the homes. In the ministry, it says, if you don't have the homes, your gospel preaching will not be as effective as possible. The gospel message is the same, but it's more attractive when it's in the homes. Okay, point B. This is where my burden really is. There is no place that can convince people like our homes. Let's, Brothers 3:1. Invite people into our homes. 80% of the work concerning the gospel is done. Wow, 80% of the work concerning the gospel is done. Okay, sisters, point two. Percent of the work is done just by serving them some food. Okay, so altogether, point three. So 80 plus 15 plus 4, what does that give us? 99% of the work concerning the gospel is done. Wow. So what's the 1% left? Amen. Let's read number 4 together. Amen. Only 1% is left for us to pray with them so they could be saved. Actually, speaking the gospel, bringing people to the Lord is not a difficult task. This year, I just want to read a little testimony. I really enjoyed this year because this one freshman brother, he invited his friend from school to our home meeting. After the first meeting, this is what his friend wrote to him in an email. So he sent it to me so I could read it. I won't read the whole thing, but I just want to highlight a couple points. So this new one, he said, first of all, I want to say thank you so much. Tonight's home meeting filled me with happiness. Everyone is so active and open to one another. They love God so much. When we sing songs, I found that everyone was smiling as we sang the songs over and over again. Okay, I felt so good, full, and comfortable. Everyone looks so nice and friendly. Thank you again for taking me to the meeting. I very much enjoyed it. Today, I found that you have another face. You play the guitar and pray to the Lord. These days, I feel so sad and empty. I worry about my future. However, today, I get energy from you all, my, quote, family. I found that your life is different. You gave me another change. Okay, capitalize, okay? That is God!
Amen.
Wow, one home meeting. You know, wow. Okay, another testimony. You know, there's not a whole lot of verses here, so I'm just going to share a testimony. There's a sister in my small group. She loves the Lord, has a heart for people, deathly afraid of the gospel. Okay, we went on a spring break trip, and she came up to me and said, Sean, are we going to pass out tracts? I've never done it before. I'm scared. I want to go hide. Okay, so this is a sister, right? But she has a love for the Lord and love for man. So she has a roommate that she asked to come to our home meeting. And this girl that she brought, I have never met someone with such a unique background. You know, her dad is a Buddhist. Her mom is a Buddhist. Her dad is a Catholic. And so she was baptized as a little baby. You know, they eventually end up in a divorce. And her mom remarried, and now her dad is Jew. So her background is Buddhism, Catholicism, and Judaism. And so she's been coming to our home meetings because she wants to know what is the Christian life about. And then so, you know, she came the first time. We sang some songs, calling the Lord. She just entered in. But she just not sure what Christianity is about. And so she keeps coming. And so the third time she came, you know, we kind of had a fellowship about why do we want to see the Lord and have a vision of the Lord and his economy, right? And she opened up and she said, you know, I want to know what Christianity is about. So we told her, it's easy. It's about a living person, right? She has seen something in the meetings that has drawn her to the Lord. And so we just told her, it's easy. It's a living person. Just open now and pray to the Lord. So she opened and she prayed. She still don't know what, you know, all these doctrine or truth or whatever, but she has a living person living inside of her. Yeah. Wow, 99% of the work is done just because she came to the home meetings, you know, again and again. There's only 1% for us to do, right? Amen. Hallelujah! Amen. Gospel is easy. We just need to bring our friends, tell them, come and see. Right. You know, sometimes when we go preach the gospel outside, it's really difficult. You know, people, they reject us, they don't want what we want. But once they see something, they don't just see the homes, but actually they see the highest church life, right? Jonah's going to touch, you know, the body in a coordinated way. This is what they want, okay? So let's read point C together. Did I say we should take this opportunity?
Must.
We must.
Amen.
Actually, when someone graduated from high school, you know, I could testify that was my experience. I was seeking for something. There's a gap within your heart. All the people out there, there's a gap within their heart that only Christ could fill.
Amen.
In Haggai 2:7, it says, Christ is the desire of the nations. I'll encourage you to read the footnote. I won't read it here, but it shows that everyone wants to have a life of peace and a good life, and that is Christ. Actually, only Christ could fill this gap within their heart. Okay, let's just read point D and through E all together. There are many lonely and homesick college freshmen. When we invite them into our living rooms, we'll feel at home.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Wow. So we were just really enjoying this matter that 99% of the job is done, right? When you get him in the homes, give him a little snack, have a little conversation, and then bring him to the Lord, right? Sounds pretty easy. It is pretty easy. Okay, let's all read Roman numeral 3 together. The way to open up the homes is in the body in a coordinated way. Okay, A. All ages can be used and coordinate together. Okay, how about all the students read 1?
We need the young people to go to the campuses.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We need the young people to go to the campuses. Okay, and then A. Let's read A together. The best fishing ponds for the Lord's recovery are the college campuses. And B, every young person who goes to the campus needs a home for his contacts. So there's a lot here that can be shared, but it's really sweet. You know, I hope everyone here is excited. I hope you guys are all excited to go back to your college campuses. The full-timers really want to give you the keys to the car, you know. We were joking the other day. that really, in the past, it's been the full-timers driving the car and the students are in the back seat goofing off. Or maybe, you know, running shotgun. But, you know, actually, we want to give you the keys. This conference, we're officially giving you the keys. But we have to learn how to do that in a coordinated way. There's a neat thing. So when we talk about the nucleus yesterday, right, it said the fishing boats are the little student nucleuses, right? You guys are fishing boats, and each one of you is a little hook. You guys are the face on the campus. You guys are the ones that they want to meet, right? They don't want to meet us. They don't want to meet me, some balding 30-something-year-old guy. They want to meet you. So we got the fishing boats. You guys need to get built up in these nucleuses to be the fishing boats, right? And then there's this quote from the same line of fellowship. It says, on the one hand, we need the fishing boats that can help to bring in the students. And on the other hand, we need the containing boats that contain all the fish that have been caught by the fishing boats. So you guys are little fishing boats, okay? And you guys are the best lures. You're the best hooks, you know. And you can meet these students. And then where do you bring them? To the homes. You bring them to the containing boats, which are the homes, which is the church life, okay? This is where the remaining fruit's going to happen, and it's a corporate fruit bearing, right? We're not asking you to go out there and do everything yourselves, right? We're asking you guys to be the face and the hands and the feet on the campus. Bring them to the homes, and the whole body will care for these ones, right? Including you. So we have these points. The older saints can open up their homes to new contacts. The middle-aged saints can serve the new ones in the living room. And, of course, hopefully all of you guys are on a campus where there are at least some saints with open homes. If there aren't, you should pray for that. Pray for some saints with open homes. And invite yourself over to the saints' houses. That's a good way to go. Free meals sometimes. But invite yourself over because this is the net that's going to catch all these fish. Okay, so let's read D together. If the saints in every locality are well coordinated, the new ones will be inspired with what they see. Okay, so this is the key. You know, that song we sang, come and see the saints in one accord. You know, the next point says they will see the real social life, communal life, and family life. This is what everyone is looking for. People come to college not just to find a career, but to find the meaning of their life. And I just really want to even impress the church kids, especially, that what we have as the church life is a very unique thing. It's the most unique thing in the whole universe. It doesn't exist anywhere else. People's families don't even like each other a lot of times. People try to join clubs and try to have some kind of, oneness there. But actually, the church life is something that nobody has. And this is the biggest attraction. People want to belong to something, and actually this is the real deal. This is the real oneness in the universe. Okay, so you know what Brother Sean shared about come and see. That's the shortest and most effective gospel message in the Bible. Three words, pretty easy, right? Come and see. He totally messed up the gospel before that, but then he scrapped that part. You know, he said that he was the son of Joseph, which he wasn't, and he said he was from Nazareth, which he wasn't. But then he said, come and see. So I know some people had the experience, you know, on the gospel. They felt they were a little inadequate. But part of it is just practicing, right? But one of the best things you could do is just say, come and see. Bring them to a home meeting. Bring them somewhere. So I really enjoyed that point. And actually, be encouraged also because Philip got better at the gospel eventually. He was preaching to whole cities like Samaria, man. He turned Samaria upside down. Yeah, so he got perfected. So, and when he saved the eunuch, you know, when the eunuch was on the chariot, you know, there's another key to the gospel here. It said, and Philip opened his mouth. Another three words, opened his mouth. That's a big key to the gospel. Okay, open your mouth. All right, let's turn over and see, read number two together. Our service in coordination will touch, soften, and warm up their heart to receive the living and piercing word. So, Sean mentioned, there's those three keys to the gospel. We need to have a lot of prayer. We need to get built up together, and we need to speak the word, and then we need the homes. Okay, last point. Once a freshman is brought into our living room, most of the work is already done. So this is really encouraging. You know, I guess one of the emphases here is that we want to make sure on a balancing side that we want to give you the keys to the car, right? But we also want to make sure it's in coordination with the whole body. Because, you know, there's a quote from yesterday's fellowship that talked about if we're not one with the body. Let's see, where's that quote? Page 14. It says, the students must go on freely. Amen. However, they should realize that with this freedom, there's a danger of doing a work that is independent of the body. So anyways, we want to make sure everything we do is in a coordination with the full-timers, if you have full-timers. It's in coordination with the saints in the homes. And this is the impact, you know, like we talked about. When they see the coordinated church life, they're attracted. Okay, and I don't know. I mean, even in my experience, this is how I got gained, is in one home meeting. I was a church kid, but I was a wayward church kid. I went away for a long time. And I went to a bunch of goofy brothers. They weren't really spiritual brothers, but they brought me to a home meeting, and I was captured. Wow. Instantly. I dove headfirst into the church life, and I never stopped. So, praise the Lord. Amen. So, even for the church, the wayward church kids. And same, actually, I met a couple of people when I was in college. And the perfecting really wasn't from me for these new ones. I was the face. And then the saints took care of them, mostly, you know. You guys will learn how to take care of them, too, but it's a body effort. Okay, and then, so main thing we want, there's been two kind of mistakes we've made in the past is, one, the full-timers over-function, and you guys sit in the back seat and goof off, or we under-function, and we just say, take the keys, good luck, see what happens, and you guys may or may not fall on your face. So basically, I know some people, when you heard that fellowship, you might have been excited, and then you might have been scared, probably both, right? Like, wow, we're supposed to be the ones preaching the gospel. Awesome. So, but the full-timers are the ones here to support you guys. The church is here to support you guys. We want to do everything we can to help you guys to gain fruit on these campuses. So anyways, we're not just like, good luck, you know, see you later, we're going to the coffee shop. But actually, we're here in coordination with you guys. And we need a lot of prayer, and we need a lot of coordination together, the whole church. And one little quote that is really, really neat, it talks about coordination. It should be an event in the spirit, right? That's what coordination is, absolutely not doing something outward or planning things, but it's actually getting released in our spirit. It's an event in the spirit. So you guys are going to be coordinating. But remember, coordination is not getting outward things done. It's an event in the spirit. And then one more thing that we just wanted to mention was this matter of clusters. I don't know if you've heard about this a little bit. Maybe some of you have. But the view that when we gain a new one, behind every new one is a cluster, right? On the vine, fruit comes forth in clusters. And so everyone has family. Everyone has friends. Everyone has classmates, people in clubs or sports. And so, anyways, and we all do too, and that's a good place to start, is start praying for our own clusters. When we get together in the twos and threes, start praying for these ones that are connected with us. Anyways, and also to see that view when we meet a new one and get them in the homes. Okay, so we have some students that want to share, and I think it'll be enlightening. Also, one thing I want to mention was these homes, it's not just this saints that have homes, you guys have homes. And one of the brothers is going to share about their experience of having a brother's house and having people come and see their living and getting saved. So anyways, you guys have homes, and they can be the gospel also. Amen.
I would like to share on my experience on the function of the students in relation to the coordination and prayer for the home meeting. First of all, I'd like to start with my first personal experience of the Lord when I was in junior high, my second year of junior high. I enjoyed the Lord in an individual way. However, when I came to college, I still claimed on to this old experience. And I wrestled with the Lord. Each time, He tried to bring me into a new experience of Him, especially when brothers, you know, invite me to their home meetings. And I must tell you, brothers, I'm a really good wrestler when it comes to wrestling with the Lord. But however, after like last year, after the college training and a God ordained weight training with specific emphasis on the homes, and which is 80% of the church life, I was like so burdened for this, and I went back to the college. I went back to Cyprus, and behold, I saw some brothers also burdened for this, for the home meeting. So together, we all prayed in a serving one's house every Friday, and we just kept praying for the home meeting, and we prayed for new ones, and guess what? Nothing happened. Well, praise the Lord. Later, we realized that the Lord was building us together. But probably wouldn't have been ready for the new ones, actually. So the Lord was preparing us and building us together. And early this semester, behold, we had many new ones. Amen. Oh, we had new ones. Also, we have other, had other students, too. And the home meeting was full of students. And more local saints became burdened for this. And more local saints, we picked the burden and we began fellowshipping and coordinating every Thursday for this. And praying together, and I must tell you, this really revived our function. And all of us, all of those friends in the home meeting, we all, in the Lord's table, we all prophesied in the table meeting. And one last thing, I can tell you, all those who were present at the home meeting, in this college, present right here in the college meeting, from the home meeting, all have come to the mic at least once in the college meeting. So thank the Lord that we can cooperate and coordinate together, that the coordination is not just for the serving ones, but we can participate in this as students on campus.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord, saints. I'm trying not to run into this. Okay, guitar, you're going to have to catch me because I don't know what's going to happen up here. But praise the Lord, saints. I just wanted to strengthen and amen everything the brothers have said so far, especially concerning the homes. Okay, so first thing, I have a friend who was in my Spanish class. By the way, I'm Ray from Torrance. If you don't know where Torrance is, it's south of L.A. But anyways, I go to a small community college. We have, like, one full-timer. He's kind of unofficial, so, you know, don't think, you know. Praise the Lord. Anyways, I'm there. And I had a friend who was in one of my classes, a series of my Spanish classes for three semesters. And I kept inviting her to home meetings, and she kept on telling me, oh, I can't because I have to work on Saturday mornings at 4 a.m. or something like that. You think your job's bad? Well, anyways, that was really bad. And so she never could make it to the meetings. And I felt really bad. I was like, Lord, how come you're not, you know, answering a prayer for this one? Anyways, the last home meeting of my third semester with her in my class, she was like, hey, I quit my job. I was like, what? And she was like, so yeah, I'm coming to the meeting on Friday. Is that okay? I was like, oh, okay, sure. Amen. So she came to the meeting. And it turned out to be our celebration meeting because it was the end of the semester. And it was in a home and there was dinner and there were a million trainees and students. And I was just like, oh, gosh, she's just going to be overwhelmed. But at the end of the meeting, she was like, so can I come on Sunday? And I was like, what? Anyways, I didn't expect that response. But she hasn't missed a meeting since then. That was like half a year ago. And so she just, it was like, I didn't even preach the gospel. I just invited her to the meeting. And it was just like, praise the Lord, she got there and she was caught. And praise the Lord for clusters. You talk about clusters. She has a fiance. She brought him in. And now he is signed up to serve at Building 8. And she has a sister who she brought. Her first meeting, she bought a ministry magazine and started doing morning revival with her. She brought her brother and her mom. So it's like, oh my gosh. And they both came to gospel meetings and called on the Lord. And I just don't even know what to say about these ones. It was amazing. And whoever's got their outline open, read the first point under Roman numeral 3. It's A. Go ahead and read it. Amen. So can you guess who was praying for this sister? It was actually a sister, or she is now. But can you guess who was praying for her? Like, the whole time, you know, I even forgot to pray. But guess who was praying? It was a high school sophomore. You know, one of the brothers that I thought I was shepherding, he was actually praying for my contacts, even, you know. And he sent me a text message, and he was like, hey, I'm praying for her. She's coming tonight, right? I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot. I didn't even know I told him that she was coming. Anyways, so Praise the Lord. You know, all the saints can get into, you know, all the saints are qualified to preach the gospel, you know, and all the saints are qualified to pray. All right. So that's 3 minutes. Praise the Lord. I have a lot more, and I apparently can't share it, but praise the Lord for all the things that the brothers are sharing about the gospel. And praise the Lord, we can preach the gospel.
Amen. Amen. My testimony is mainly just entering into the Lord's move through prayer, and more specifically through the twos and threes. So this past summer, I just graduated from UCLA. My name is Melissa Rosado. And one thing that the Lord really revealed to me through my college years was I can't do it without Christ and the church. So not just Christ, but also the church. And I always knew this, but this hadn't been my experience. And that revelation, some of it came from being in those situations where, like, you can't do it and you need the Lord. But actually, this part about the church, really, I received it when I entered into praying with my sisters. Anyway, so this past summer, a sister and I decided to get together and to pray. And so it was during the summer we had more time. We prayed three times a week, about 45 minutes to an hour. Our plan was just to pray for 15 minutes, but it just went a lot longer. And we would record all the prayers that we made. And I counted them actually the other day, and 93% of our prayers were answered. And when I say that they were answered, I mean, like, we would pray, Lord, you know, we pray for our friends. We're like, Lord, cause her to call on your name. The next day, Ashley would receive a phone call. Like, she called on the name of the Lord. So then we'd pray, okay, Lord, bring her to a home meeting. That week, like, she would come to a home meeting. And I was beside myself. I never experienced anything like that. Anyway, so then that summer, UCLA had an internship where the students entered into the service of the full-timers, and we were grouped together. And there was one experience that we had where we went out on, where we were supposed to go out on the gospel. And there was four of us that were grouped together, and we get to this place where we all meet, and we began to pray, and Ashley was like, there's no full-timer here. And I was like, so what? Like, let's go. So we went on to the gospel. We went out on the gospel. Two of us went out. The other two were praying. But meanwhile, we had already been praying before this. Like, we were already built up in prayer. Anyway, we talked to four people, and four people prayed, received the Lord, and one of them came to us, came with us to the home meetings. And I was just, I've been on the gospel before, and I don't know, I just never had this experience before. So then, coming into the school year, I wanted to continue this, because at this point, I realized, like, I can't live my Christian life without this, like, being built up with someone. Anyway, but Ashley got really busy, and so I was like, what do I do? But I was in two home meetings, and there happened to be a sister who was in my home meetings, and I was like, do you want to pray? So we got together once a week, and we began to pray. Ashley was praying with her roommate, and Joanna, who was in my two small group meetings, we were praying on a daily basis. By the end of the year, we realized that we had this net. We were all praying with each other. I was praying with Ashley. I was praying with Joanna. Ashley was praying with Joanna, all these things. So we would get together once a week, and we would pray. And what the Lord did with that is, like, not only were our prayers were answered, but we realized that this is what the Lord needs. He needs a group of students who are behind the scenes just praying for what the Lord is doing. So, amen. Praise the Lord. We can all enter in.
And praise the Lord. I just want to give a little account of what's been going on. My name is Joe Duke, and I'm from the church in Santa Ana, and there's a campus, Santa Ana College. It's probably like two blocks away from the brother's house in Santa Ana, and I live there. I live with about eight other students, and the really amazing thing about preaching the gospel in the homes, I'll just give you a little recap of what's been going on. In the course of about 2 years, about 60 students have been saved on that campus. And, you know, not all of them are remaining fruit, but what's amazing about it is this. It started with the Lord recovering one brother who was on the wrestling team. And so this brother, what he did is he started inviting some of his wrestling buddies to come over to a home that had been open on Thursdays. And we also have the college meeting on Fridays. And so what happened was, this brother invited all these bros. They started coming. They got saved. And, you know, this brother wasn't really like a constituted brother. He just started coming back to the Lord, and he invited his friends, and we would just you know, direct him to this brother who I call the big guns, because he's the one that's really constituted. He's about 40 years old, and, you know, he this brother's really good at preaching the gospel. So what's amazing is in the course of that year, I think that was 07, all these guys just started coming. You know, they invited their friends, and they started coming. We'd get them saved that night on Thursday, and then the brother would turn on the bathtub, and he's like, all right, you ready to get baptized? You know, they would explain the baptism, and then they'd just dunk them in. And so what's amazing is, okay, so that's one example, and it's just a matter of this brother just inviting people, right? Now, this other brother who also started coming back to the Lord, you know, it was kind of a brother that I had concepts about, like, you know, I looked down upon him like, oh, this brother is not a person who would be useful for the Lord. And we can never make a judgment like that about anyone, because the Lord can use anyone. And I just wanted to kind of, before I tell you what happened with him, is are you guys all familiar with Matthew chapter 25 with the parable about the man that was going to go out, and he entrusted talents to his slaves, right? The three slaves. So the first one, he entrusted five talents. The second one, he entrusted two. The third one, he entrusted only one talent. And they went and exchanged it with the money changers, and they gained back the five talents plus the other five talents. The second one gained another two. But the other one, the last one, was the unfaithful slave, and he didn't gain anything. He hid his talent in the earth. And one thing I was reading was that the talent equals a spiritual gift. And the Lord gives us a talent according to our ability. So he gives us a measure. So real quick, this is real good, bro. Check this out. So what happened was, when the guy came back and he saw that the first two had gained five more and two more, his appraisal was, well done, good and faithful servant. Come into the joy of thy master. Right? And the appraisal and reward was the same for those two. Now, if the one with the one talent had done the same thing, he would have gotten the same thing. So that shows that the reward and appraisal that the Lord gives us is not based according to the size of the talent, but it's according to our faithfulness to that talent. So I just want to give go back to what I was telling you about that brother. You know, this brother, you know, shaved head, baggy pants, really gangster looking guy. And he wasn't very coherent because, you know, psychedelic drugs or something. But what's really amazing is this brother slowly, as he progressed in the church life for like about a year and a half, he became more normal, and he grew his hair, and you know, it was just amazing. And what he began to do was he invited some of his buddies from his diesel class, and they started coming to the Friday night meetings and also to the Thursday nights. And they would get saved. These people were getting saved. Ah, Lord Jesus. So what's amazing about this is I was thinking, man, I'm so capable. Real quick. All right. So what I'm saying is this brother was faithful to that one talent. You know, he's not highly constituted or whatever, but he just invited them, and they would get saved. And two Muslim guys got saved because he invited them. That's pretty amazing. Amen.
Amen. My name is Grace. Oh, and I'm Eunice, and we're both going to be third years at UC Irvine.
Amen. And we just wanted to give you guys actually a practical word regarding companionizing, mm-hmm. and also students being responsible to shepherd other students.
Amen.
And also we want to show you some really good spiritual material you can use that we've used on preaching the gospel as well as shepherding other students. And so me and Eunice have been in the same home meeting for 2 years, and we picked up this burden last year on the matter of the gospel and fruit bearing. Mm-hmm. And I personally went to the Lord, and I prayed in a desperate way that I would gain one remaining fruit.
Amen.
And like our sister's experience, a week later, I met this young freshman named Amy on the gospel, and she has been meeting with us for the past 4 years, four months, every single week. And our experience with Amy is that we actually don't need a club or even a full-time team in order to meet with her, because actually she meets with another Christian club. So we just come together as sisters who love to who love God and love to read the Word. And it's really quite sweet. And also, we don't ask her to join our club activities, you know, and vice versa. But we invite her over to our house. I live at the sister's house. We invite her over for dinner and for times for singing. And she really enjoys it. And actually, it's because our shepherding is not regulated. You know, it's something organic, and it's full of the humanity of Jesus. And, you know, and the Lord loves to add to these vital groups. So actually, as you learn to shepherd, the Lord will increase your capacity, and He'll give you more fruit. And Eunice and I not only pray and fellowship and coordinate for Amy, but also for Seth, who is my 10-year-old tennis student that I teach, and also a sister named Izzy, who is an exchange student from England. And then also right before the year ended, Amy brought her friend, his name is Nathan, and she brought him, and we've been praying for him for the entire quarter. And he finally came, and we connected him to the brothers in the finals week. And so it's wonderful. And actually, all this is not from the full-time team. It was all in coordination with the students. And I just want to let you know, actually, the material that we used were LetHisWordRun.com. We got everything, the gospel tracts, and everything on the back. Yeah, the basic elements of Christian life, which you can tell your new ones. On the back here, there's a website, BiblesForAmerica.org, and you can they can get all this material for free, they themselves. Amen. And you can also order it from LetHisWordRun.com.
Amen. Well, for us to really care for these new ones, we really needed to tap into the living body. We really needed to get into the flow, because out of ourselves, our natural care for them was so limited. So when we really brought it forth to the body, we could really produce, like, wonderful fruit. I just wanted to say it was really through the Lord using us. Because we just kept praying, Lord, that He would shepherd through us, that He would be the one shepherding, not us. And like, not only that, but we used all the students and the body to really pray for them. Part of it was definitely by our set daily schedule of, not daily, but our weekly schedule for praying and fellowship, which brought us together, knit together, and also knit with the body. On Monday nights, we went to student coordination. And during this time, we would bring up these names, and we would pray. And it was wonderful. We would come back feeling so supplied, and like, we could do this. And then not only that, but the next morning, we really needed to meet up before our appointment on Tuesday with Amy. So during that time, we would just pray. We would get into our morning revival, and we would pray that the Lord would lead, because we don't know what to do. Like, we just don't know. People are all different, and we have so many fruit that we don't know how to take care of them all. So we would just pray for the Lord to lead through us and take care of it. And everything we prayed for would just happen. We prayed one day that she would open her mouth. She's not used to praying out loud. Like, when we pray together, it would just be us praying, and then she would quietly sit there. But it was wonderful. She opened her mouth. She called on the Lord. She loved the Lord, and her prayer was so sweet. It was so rich. It wasn't anything that was like calculated, but it was just so pure and wonderful. And then after that time, we prayed again. We prayed that the Lord would just take care of her, even shield her from the enemy this entire week, because people knew we were meeting with her and the stuff about our club. So it was just like, Lord, take care of her. And we would prepare for our other fruits together too. And it was just so wonderful, so lovely. And then that night, there was more prayer. Not only did we bring it to the nucleus of the student coordination, we brought it to our home meeting. And we would just pray together and pray and pray. And it really built us up. It really made us feel like we were standing on one ground, on this one flow. And it was marvelous. And additionally, not only did we just pray during this set times, but we also had times where we just felt burdened or like really we had something going on or just really blocked. And during that time, we would just pray together. You know, it wouldn't be for our new ones. It would be for ourselves, because we labored not for ourselves not just for ourselves to grow, but for us to take care of these fruit, because we reap what we sow, and we want to sow the Spirit. So we really had to coordinate and be one.